there. Welcome to Let's Talk Tottenham. New location for me. I'm dog sitting today. So if I have to jump off the screen, it's because they need to go into the garden. But terrible result against Villa. Said on Friday it was a six-pointer. And we just didn't turn up again. And we've gone out with a whimper. And Europa League's looking very precarious now as well. Couple of comments already. Get your comments in. Hit the like. Hit the subscribe. Gareth, what's up, Magic Man? Have you cleared that bed yet? Little random joke there. But unfortunately, for you, there is no bed here because I'm in a different house. Bobby K, how you doing, buddy? And Wayne Bonner, how you doing? Get your comments in. Get your questions in. Who you think our next manager should be? Interested what Spurs fans think of Poch going to Chelsea. I've got my own thoughts about that, but we'll talk about that. Kulu, apparently the deal is off as well. Absolutely crazy. And much more besides. I can't wait for the season to end. There we go then. Another slow start and another loss. God knows how many games we've started slowing and conceded in the first 10 minutes. Under Mason, it's Newcastle, Liverpool, Man United, and now Villa. Pretty much every game he's been in. I don't know how we keep doing this. We'll talk about the offsides a bit later on. We were caught offside constantly against Villa's high line due to laziness, really. And that says to me that the players just don't really care and aren't concentrating enough. And that, I think, is probably what's causing these slow starts and just lackluster performances as well. They just don't care anymore and they're not that bothered. Shocking. Shocking for, you know, players who get paid that much money. But I guess that's the case. But Villa, you know, on the ascendancy, they must be delighted with how it's gone with Emery. And really looking forward to what could happen next season. But for us, as the title said of the show, what a mess we are. What a mess we are. No director of football, no manager, best player. Is he winding down his contract? Is he going to leave? We're not signing someone who we thought was a foregone conclusion. We want a project manager, and a project manager's just gone to our rivals because we didn't even ask if he was interested in a job. But the Villa game, it was a good free kick for the second goal, but really just pathetic, stupid challenge. And we're seeing this time and time again. We've tried you get the manager in to shake things up and tell them a few home truths. That hasn't worked because then they just stop playing for them and then the manager gets fired. We've tried the manager who will have a go at the board. The board don't like that. Just fired. We've tried project managers. It needs someone for Levy to not sack them, to just do what Levy says. But Levy doesn't know anything about football. So it's just going to come crashing down because he's going to buy players that the manager doesn't need or want. And then the results aren't going to follow. But Aston Villa, completely the opposite, got a way of playing. Their high line will come. They'll come a cropper with that because teams will work that out. Like I said, if we'd have worked that out, we wouldn't have been offside that much and we'd have had a few one-on-ones. Harry Kane scored the penalty. We got a goal. But really, for my money, he should have been booked for the dive. It was a dive. He saw Martinez coming. Martinez was a bit silly coming out, but it wasn't his area. But if you look at Kane, he's kind of jumped over him and then kicked him himself and then gone over and pretended to be injured. A dive from Harry there. And you know, I've said time and time again, when Salah was diving, when Fernandes was diving, even when Kane was diving as well. Elias in the chat. How you doing, buddy? I've said time and time again. Let me give it a link to someone. Bobby K, hopefully be on. I completely forgot about the link. Apologies, Bobby. Just let me get this. But I've said time and time again, when all of these people were diving, it needs to be a big a three-game ban straight off. But they won't do that. It needs to be a three-game ban. Doesn't matter if it's for Salah. Doesn't matter if it's for this person, that person, you know, who doesn't play for us. It needs to be a three-game ban. And that way, it might, you know, stop people diving, but the way, you know, get a penalty for that, it's just a bit ridiculous. Elias, I'm good as a Spurs fan can be at this moment in time. How you doing, buddy? And Bobby K, give it 10 minutes and then he'll be on. No problem, buddy. Come on when you're ready. But yeah, it's just, I mean, we should have scored more. We should have scored more in terms of the offside, like I said. But we didn't do that. And yeah, I've completely lost my train of thought now. But we should have scored more times. The offside was just terrible. Absolutely terrible, really. We had chances and chances to put players in and you know, either the run has happened too quick, Son's gone too quick, not bent his run, Richarlison as well, or Kane hasn't played it early enough, or the other people haven't played it early enough. And it's just not good enough, really, for a team who are wanting to be in Champions League. We're not going to be in Champions League. That's what we're hoping for. And it's just not going to work with lackluster displays like this, where players, I think, don't care. And we'll get Bobby's opinions on this as well. Yeah, we'll get Bobby's opinions on this in a 10 minutes or so, 20 minutes. But it's just where we were 3 years ago, 4 years ago, sorry. We were in a Champions League final. Yeah, the league form was terrible, but it could have been completely different if we'd have won that final. And now 4 years later, we're an absolute mess. Our rivals are just lost the title race. But fair play to them, you know, getting within two games of Man City. A lot of Arsenal fans now saying they don't like the term bottled it. They only don't like that because that's what their team have done when Spurs were doing it. It was absolutely fine to... Yeah, Elias, yeah, I don't have any. I knew it was for Bobby, but in case he wasn't looking in the chat, that was for him. But yeah, no worries. Just want to clarify, no worries. Hope you're doing well, as well as a Spurs fan can be anyway. But yeah, I lost my train of thought. Yes, Arsenal. But they have bottled it. They were top of the league for the majority of the time. We got called bottlers when we lost to Chelsea when we weren't top of the league at all in that season. So they have bottled it. They just don't like it because it's against their team. When it's against Spurs, it's all very fine. It's all Spursy, ha, ha, ha. But, yes, they've bottled it. But did anyone expect them to be in a title challenge? Not at all. So, therefore, they've well overachieved this season. They haven't actually achieved anything, I'd say, in the sense of, if you're going to talk about Spurs, Pochettino's Spurs team in that 16-17 season, everything was, well, they haven't won anything. So therefore, in that respect, Arsenal haven't won anything or achieved anything because they haven't won anything. But I think we did achieve stuff under Poch. So therefore, Arsenal have achieved stuff this season. But in terms of the... One set of media say this about Spurs, but when it's Arsenal, they say the complete opposite. Just a bit daft. But yeah, in terms of us, Harry Kane should have been booked for that, for me, for that dive. Talking of diving, different way though, Romero diving in again. The first goal got caused by him smashing into whoever it was in the middle of the pitch, completely out of position. They play the ball quickly round. He's out of position and then they've got a man over. I'm not sure with Romero, if he's a good defender, a quality defender, or in the World Cup, if he was surrounded by quality players that shielded that, or he was just surrounded by quality players, therefore that's what made him good, because he's playing with quality players, doesn't have to worry about this person doing that or that person doing this, which at Spurs he's constantly worried, I think, about that because our defence is terrible. So he's trying to make stuff happen. Against Palace, he looked superb. But then, like I said, Palace didn't really attack us at all, didn't even try, really. So he could afford to not dive in as much. But yeah. But are we going to get a quality defence around him? Probably not, because it needs a lot of money spent on it. We need a playmaker. If Harry leaves, we either need a striker or we get a quality attacking player in and stick with Charleston up top. We need a goalkeeper. Vea's been talked about, but I thought he was free, but apparently all reports saying 40 million. So we ain't going to get a playmaker, say Madison, for 60 million. Another quality player, maybe a James Ward-Prowse, that'll be about 30 million. Goalkeeper for 40 million. And then two 40, 50 million pound defenders. We're not going to get that at all. How you doing, Terry? Terry, right in the chat. Big up to yourself. Thanks for watching and the comments. Get your comments in. Hit the like, hit the subscribe. Please share the video as well. Really, really helps the channel. Really appreciate it. So we aren't going to be spending all of this money, I don't think. We haven't even got a manager yet, so we can't be spending money or even thinking about money when we don't even know who's going to be in charge. We go and buy this guy, the manager wants that guy. We've already bought the guy that he doesn't want. Just doesn't make sense. And it's starting to look like the Nuno kind of time again. 71 days, I think that was, before we got a manager. It's now up to 50. Nuno, we were going back to the Spurs DNA. We get an ultra defensive manager. I can see it being Mason. I can see it being Mason, which I like Mason. Spurs through and through. Completely inexperienced. Needs to go QPR, Reading, somewhere like that. Maybe not QPR. They've just got, what's the name from Wickham? I can't remember his name now. Oh, that's terrible. Maybe someone in the chat can tell me the QPR manager's name, who used to be at Wickham. But maybe Reading, they've just sacked Paul Ince and gone down. There won't be any pressure there, learn his trade there. He needs to do that for me. He can't be going in at Tottenham where there's a huge, huge amount of pressure, regardless of whether the players like him or not. The players may like him. They're not playing for him because they're not turning up, certainly at the start of a game, which is awful, awful. And how you can do that is crazy. I talked about the players constantly offside, but it's worth reiterating again. Ian Wright, who knows a thing about being a striker and playing on the last man, showed at least four clips. There are two in the highlights themselves of where we were offside and not bending runs by Son and Richarlison. And when they were onside, the ball to them was just very quick. Thanks, Bobby K. Gareth Ainsworth, that's QPR's manager. I should have known that. But yeah, cheers, Bobby. But yeah, constantly offside. And Villa, you know, Ashley Young said after the game, it's been drilled in. They're not going to give any secrets away on how they keep their high line and everything like that. But if we'd have been on the ball and if we'd have decided we really wanted this game, we'd have been in time and time and time again. The Kane penalty as well came from a through ball from Kulu, which, again, a high line. We were in their field, so it was a lot lower than it was when we were caught offside, but too easy for him to get in. And a little more care, a little more desire from the players to want to produce, I think, anyway, I think that's the problem. And we'd have been in time and time and time and time again, and would have scored goals and then made it very potentially a very different game. Let me bring on Bobby. How you doing, Bobby?
What's happening, buddy? Don't thank me too much for that. Thank Google. I had to look it up.
More than I did. I couldn't even remember. I met the guy as well and I couldn't even remember his name.
No way. how you doing, Chris? Long time, buddy. Hello to everybody in the chat. Hope everybody is well. Happy Monday. Well, not a happy Monday, another shit weekend of football. But what makes it happy for me is I was at work. Didn't watch a minute of the game and still haven't bothered to put up the bloody highlights and watch a big Terry. Good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, I watched the highlights, but I just can't wait.
Good, eh?
I just can't wait for 2 weeks' time because then I don't have to worry about football for however many months it is. Apart from who we're going to get as manager, it's just what do you think it's down to? For me, I just think the players don't really care. And
no,
you wouldn't have seen the highlights. We were offside about 4 or 5 times on simple. Either bend, run, play the ball quicker.
No, the boys were telling me because they watched it and they're saying Sonny just forgot the offside rule. All of a sudden, he thought he was
for me, I think that just says that there's a lack of care there. And that to me just says, I don't care. I'll just go and run.
Lack of care, lack of prep, lack of proper management, lack of proper direction, lack of cohesion, lack of understanding what the other people are doing. Lack of chemistry, lack. There seems to be a common denominator in here somewhere, Chris. You know, but you did make a comment whilst I was listening earlier there, where you said something about the 3 years ago. You know, where we were in the Champions League final every day on the show on Saturday night with Coove and that and everybody on. One thing I had brought up, we didn't end up talking about it because it was a Saturday night show and. Everybody just didn't want to talk about football. So, but there was one thing I had in the banner that it was just a couple of days ago. We're 1 year removed from that win at the NLD
in Tottenham
where we smoked them 3-0. And look at the comparisons in within 1 year
of both
what's happened with the club of both teams.
Yeah.
You know, and people are saying Arsenal bottled the league and everything like that, but at least they have the right as much as it sickens me to say that they were at least contending for it. What were we contending for? What were we ultimately contending for at any point this season? Going out to Sheffield, going out to Forest in the Cups. Like, are you fucking kidding me? You know, going out so pathetically in the Champions League to AC Milan. What was it? 3 shots on target over 2 legs?
Yeah. And certainly we needed a goal and we didn't look like laying a glove on them for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about Kane because is he going to go? Is he going to stay? But firstly, I don't know if you saw the penalty. For me, it was a dive. He's kicked the goalkeeper and knows what he's doing and then pretended to be injured. I love Kane, but I hate diving. If you want to get diving out for me, I've said it for years and years. 3-game ban. As standard, it will affect teams in different ways, but then a star player will be out for 3 games. They won't do anything. It's just
well, the only way, Chris, is if they start doing a review after the fact.
Yeah, I don't know how they don't, because they've got the video evidence there. It won't take away the fact that we scored a penalty or someone scored a penalty, someone's lost a game and won a game. But
yes,
you've got to create deterrence for these things and give time for the deterrence. So if the deterrent is a 3, make it 5 game ban. Soon, when that starts happening and players do start getting 5 game bans, other players will be thinking, okay. And then it will stop, but it's not going to stop overnight.
That's the sad reality, isn't it? It's not going to stop overnight. And it's one of those things that it's just absolutely pathetic that the FA themselves don't want to step in and do anything about it, because aren't they the governing body? Aren't they the be-all and end-all of everything? Aren't they the ones that everybody's supposed to look up and set the example and everything? And they're consistently shunning responsibility, consistently deflecting, consistently not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Again, lacking. You know?
It's just there is no governing body in football because it's terrible.
What's driving me crazy right now is, again, I just, you know, every day I just in Google, I'll just type in Tottenham just to see what the rumors are of the day kind of thing. And here we are linked with this player, linked with that player, linked with this player. I don't know. Call me crazy, but shouldn't we have a director of football and a manager before we start buying players for a system that we don't know what they're going to come in and play?
I literally just said that, and it's just crazy, isn't it? But it is all rumors at the moment. I don't really believe all the it's easy journalism. But Terry Wright's comment here, we will be talking about this a bit later on, but just I think Levy's going to bring in a manager who will agree to work with the majority of this current squad. He's obviously not going to want to spend big to rebuild the squad in the summer. We will be talking about that a bit later on, Terry, and a good point there. Kane, is he staying? Is he going? Is he winding the contract down? There's a move apparently at the last game, home game for him. Should have been after he scored the record-breaking goal, but Where do you see him going next season and beyond?
I'm probably going to get a lot of shit for this, but I think if he stays, he's an idiot.
Yeah, Well, I think so as well. Yeah.
I don't think he has. He doesn't owe us anything else as fans. He doesn't know the badge of the club, anything more than what he's done. He's been a consistent performer since the moment he was pushed into the starting 11 and called a one-year wonder. And since then has consistently shut everybody the hell up, gone on to become arguably the best striker in the world. And would fit into pretty much 99.9% of the teams in the world in any league. Yet we consistently have failed him to support him. So how many times do we want this guy to bang his head against a wall before he splits it open and just bleeds to death kind of thing? You get what I'm saying? Like it's just, I actually feel bad for the guy. You know, I don't see him now with the Poch thing. I don't see him wanting to leave London. I don't see him going to Bayern because at his age, the language barrier, whatnot, and everything, uprooting his family. You know, I think he just had another child, if I'm correct. Right?
Big up, Lars. Yeah, he's either had one or he's got one on the way. I can't quite remember.
But I think he just had another child, from my understanding. Who knows? I don't go that far deeply into their personal lives. But that being said, you know, to uproot your whole family and everything, to leave your childhood club and everything, the guy's got a good heart. You know, he stayed loyal to us, and we owe it to him to either give him something better or at least give him the opportunity to reach and fulfill his ambition, because we clearly don't want to help him fulfill his ambition. We don't.
Yeah, no.
It's plain to see. To think that we've even made an attempt to fulfill his ambition, I think is a lie. I don't even know where the wheels have come off with us. And again, it's just the same roller coaster ride again, isn't it? It's frustrating, you know, I'm seeing a much bigger buildup to what's happening with the Tottenham for Change and everything, and what Daigle's doing, and more people showing up to protests and everything, and voicing the fact that their displeasure and everything. And I can't see Levy doing what he's done for 22 years and building what he has built and getting the accolades from people that he does, that look where Tottenham were and look where they are now kind of thing. But he leveled out kind of thing. He's not going to take us forward. So if he's going to sit back and rest on that and just kind of accept that this is where I brought you guys, you should be thankful, you should be praising me, then we're definitely not going to go anywhere further. No. If he finally recognizes that, okay, this is now becoming a problem, I need to address this problem. And the only way to address the problem is me go talk to the guy at Chick King and see if he'll sell and worry about buying properties and stuff while Scott Munn actually starts going, gets us a DOF and a manager, and starts putting the pieces together. Like, do you see anybody other than Rodgers coming in right now? Or Mason?
Yeah, Arnie Slot's been the big one on Twitter today, but again, rumors.
English barrier, bro.
Yeah.
Apparently he doesn't speak English.
Yeah, I don't like Rodgers. I don't think he's that great. He was attacking football, which is good for us, obviously, because it would be... we'll be awake in the stadium for a start, but defensively he can't defend. But if it's between him and Mason, it's got to be him, because Mason is so inexperienced. He needs to go and
learn, go to
Reading or somewhere like that, who are looking for a manager. No pressure at all. There'll be pressure for them to get promoted back into the Championship, but nowhere near the pressure that there is at Tottenham. And the players, I don't think, are playing for him anyway. You know, saw what happened in the start of Liverpool, United and Villa. Yeah, the Liverpool and United second halves, maybe they are playing for him, but if you're playing for someone, you play for them for the full 90 minutes.
For 90 minutes, yeah.
So, yeah, he's too inexperienced. And not being horrible to him, if we're after this player or that player, and it's Ryan Mason coming to speak to him.
Exactly.
You want someone with a bit of pedigree, I'd say.
Yeah.
Rodgers, you know, he got Liverpool to the brink of winning a league, so he's got a bit of pedigree there. And the thing with Rodgers is it'll probably make it a bit easier, whether we'll get him or not, I don't know, but it'll make it a bit easier if we wanted to go and get Maddison, because he's got that relationship with him.
Will Maddison turn around and say, hold on, this guy failed us at Leicester. Am I going to turn around and follow him now and watch him fail at Tottenham?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a double-edged sword there on that one.
Yeah. It depends on the relationship between the two. If he really likes Rodgers and liked playing for him, and then things have gone wrong this season, they didn't spend for him, we've had injuries, whatever, then maybe. But I don't know. Was Rodgers the manager who got Maddison into the England squad, or was he in the England squad before Rodgers turned up?
Well, you're asking the wrong guy that question. I can't remember what happened in the game 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you set yourself up for a fall with the Ainsworth comment there. That's what you done.
Hold on. Hey, Google.
But yeah, in terms of Kane, I think you're right. Bayern Munich, no go, because he wants to win that get that Shearer record.
Yeah.
It'd be very interesting if Bayern Munich did make a serious offer. Would Levy accept it?
Yeah.
Terry writes, said here, and this does with a bit of a worry. Todd Boehly could offer 200 million for Kane. I mean,
easily, yeah.
We'll talk about Poch. I'm genuinely worried now, him going to Chelsea, that he'll be after Kane. And if you get bid 200 million for a 29-year-old who's got 1 year left,
on his contract,
doesn't matter who it is, you've got to snap their hand off and take the 200 million. My issue would be, it's not going to be invested wisely. It's not like Liverpool and Klopp with the 140 million for Coutinho. They identified they needed a goalkeeper and a defender. They got at the time the two best in the business. We ain't going to do that. We're just going to cheap out again. And Terry, again, I don't understand the slot hype. I don't really know too much.
I don't either.
But yeah, I mean, the Kane thing, it's such a huge summer for us. A director of football, a manager, our top player. Normally, there's only one of those things. And 50 days since we fired Conte, it's starting to look a bit like Nuno again, this whole...
Oh, no, we're going to surpass that.
Yeah.
We're going to break that record. We're going to shatter that record, buddy.
I mean, in the sense
we're setting new standards,
we don't know
baby.
What we're doing. But yeah, who do you think's coming in? Rodgers, do you think?
Rodgers.
Or Mason?
If somebody came to me right now and said, who would you put your money on? I would bet Rodgers.
Yeah.
If Mason does this, if we bring in a manager... I would say Rodgers. I don't see anybody out there that's, you know, even with slot, we'd have to pay compensation.
Yeah.
Why are we going to do that when we can get somebody for free? Yeah, yeah, we're busy paying compensation to the managers we fired still.
Yeah. Would you be pleased with Rodgers? I wouldn't be, but I'd still support him because he's, at the end of the day, our manager. And I didn't want Poch at the start and look. What do I know?
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people did because Poch came from Southampton, you know what I mean? And it's not like he'd done well, but not amazing. But, it's really hard to say, though, isn't it, Chris, if a manager is really the answer? Because when you look over at Brighton and the fact that they lost their manager, arguably two or three of their best players last year, and they're better than they were last season, in a better position as well. What does that tell you? That's from a footballing standpoint coming further up the food chain kind of thing where things are run. There's a formula and some sort of agenda that's put together and run properly. And they say, okay, this is our big picture kind of thing. And our big picture seems to be about yay big. Can you see that?
I think that's a bit too big there. I don't think we have a picture.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, so... You know, I think the tip of this pencil has a bigger picture than what we do have right now. And that's what, to me, is just infuriating, depressing, sad, painful. Here we are talking about we just want to get to the end of the season. Like, how pathetic is that to say, really, as a fan, that I just want to get these two games done with and get this season done with and hope for better things next year because it's been that painful. You know, I don't know how or even where we are. A few lucky results and a few lucky results from the other teams failing, basically. But we could easily be sitting in 10th or 11th right now.
Yeah. I mean, do you think it's a weird one? European football is obviously European football. But would it be better for us to get European football or be out of it altogether? For me, I think... Get out of it altogether. Focus on a cup, League Cup, FA Cup. Won't be the league. Try and get back into the top four, but put your focus. It will never happen while Levy's there because his focus is always top four. But put your focus on winning one of those cups. Get a bit of luck. You can have a cup run. And without Europe, you can then, you know, week. But then if we did get Conference League, that could be, you know, the Divines, the Harvey Whites come in, Dane Scarlett gets some game time. But then we've tried that before and it didn't work.
It didn't work, yeah.
So for you, Europe or not for you?
No, thank you. Nothing. I want Again, this is pathetic to be saying as a fan. I want us to finish as low as we possibly can. I want the board to feel it, and I want these players to be embarrassed and be held accountable for what they've accomplished or failed to accomplish this season. They, on paper, have a much stronger squad than a lot of the teams that we have dropped points to. On paper, there's no reason for us to be doing what we've done. Even Sun having a very poor start to the season, everything. Okay, he's turned it around in the second half of the season, a little bit better and stuff. Not quite up to what we expect, again, of him. But we brought in players that excited us, you know, last summer. Yeah. When we said Perisic came in, Basuma came in, Richie came in. Those three alone, to me, I was like, okay, great. We might do something. But when you're consistently rotating managers, this is what's screwing us over. We're bringing in players that don't even know what system they're playing. I think our players are honestly confused because at the end of the day, these guys are still kids. You know, we're talking about kids between the age of 21 and 29. Kane being one of the older players at 29. Jesus, I'm 20 years older than the guy almost. I'm 47. You know, they're kids at the end of the day. So I you know, I know the argument would be, well, they're professionals. They should know what they're supposed to be doing. They should, but that's great if the one professional understands his job. But there's 10 other guys there, you know? There's 11 people on that field together. If the guy beside you doesn't get it and the guy behind you doesn't get it, it doesn't matter if you get it. And I think that's where we're kind of lost, where we just, everybody's not on the same page.
Well, the other issue with that is if one person does get it, we've got no leaders to kind of help the other guys through it. It's all like, you know, one person here, one person there, rather than like Brighton, you said, a team of 11. So if one person isn't stepping up, there's someone there to make sure they step back up.
Yeah, they fill that void, yeah.
Yeah, and you talked about bad form. One guy who has had bad form is this guy, Kulu.
Yep.
I'm astounded that this is even a talking point, and
I'm not.
We're going to get, presumably, an attacking manager in. Surely an attacking manager would suit him down to the ground. And we played attacking last season under Conte, and he was one of the stars, Chris, there with Kane and Son. Chris, I can't believe it's off. I think it'll be a big mistake.
Why are you stressing, bro? There's plenty of 21-year-old young wingers that have flair, that can take a man on, that are out there for 30 million. Tons. Mm.
Yeah,
Did you pick up that sarcasm? Sorry, there was a lot of it.
This
is what I'm saying. We have no direction because we don't have any picture of what we're doing. We don't have any base. We don't have a foundation. We're building from the top down. You ever seen a house built with a roof first? It's absolutely maddening what we're doing. I still can't understand why we're linked to players. That's the one thing that just drives me absolutely crazy.
And the other way, saying that we're not signing Kulusevski up when the next manager, whoever that may be, might love it.
Exactly.
Stupid. Absolutely stupid. Didn't you hear
Allegri's coming in?
I haven't heard that one.
No, I'm just saying. That's how foolish it would be, though. We would get rid of Kulu and then bring Allegri in.
I just can't understand that not happening if it doesn't happen. 22 years old, 23, something like that. Had a brilliant second half of the season last season. That old adage, form is temporary, class is permanent. That the whole he hasn't got any pace thing has come up again, whereas last season it was completely put to bed, and now all of a sudden it's come back up again. Isn't right-footed, can't use his right foot. Thierry Henry can never use his left foot. He didn't do too badly. Gareth Bale didn't do too bad, hardly using his right foot. Yeah, they had pace, but, you know, it's just, if we don't sign him permanently, I think it's a huge, huge error, and just, like you say, complete rudderless ship and just no idea at all, and will be as infuriating for me as what's happening at the moment.
I think the reason we're actually not going to sign him is because we're overloaded. We're overloaded with players. We're overloaded with player salaries, and I think they're really just trying to clean the books up a bit. And who knows if there's any, you know, what one thing to also look at now that just came to mind is maybe there's something dodgy in the paperwork that was done to bring him over by Fraud Paratici, right? So, I mean, Don Paratici. So maybe they've got some irregularities there that kind of, hold on a second, two and two isn't adding up here kind of thing. Mm. We got to get out of this deal.
Well, that would mean that Bentancur would presumably have to be got out of as well, because unless that was done separately.
That was separate, right?
And that was under the impression that was a purchase, wasn't it? Yeah, I was under the impression it was a double deal, but yeah, one's a purchase, one's a loan with an obligation to buy. So I mean, why we employed that guy in the first place? They must have known that. And again, it's just fool guy.
Well, Chris, this is what I'm saying. This is we're a property development company. This, and I said this a few times to a few other people. I wonder. So this guy was under investigation at the time we decided to bring him on and give him the job after Juventus with all their point scandal, this, that, everything like that, the deduction, everything like that.
I think I read the Italian FA said at the time as well, we're going to apply for a worldwide ban as well.
Yes.
So they knew it was potentially everywhere, and they still went and got the guy.
And that's the thing. Now, I wonder, and I would bring this question to Levy with these, the Tottenham Trust guys, if any of you ever watched this, if you get this question, by all means, please ask him. If he would have done business with a property development company that was under investigation for irregularities.
Yeah.
I would bet no.
Well, he wouldn't have done, would he? He'd have steered.
But it's okay when it comes to the footballing end, because the football doesn't matter. We are an entertainment industry now. We can remove the FC from the THFC.
Yeah. I mean, you said something earlier with how he's transformed us from here to up to here, which I think he has, but there's levels. So
yeah,
we've capped.
Oh.
Well, after the 16-17 season, and he's unwilling to do that. So therefore.
Sorry, was that you or me there?
You, I think, but it could be my internet as well. But yeah.
Okay.
But we reached the level that we're at, 16-17, when we finished second to Chelsea. It was then about taking the next step, and he hasn't done that since then. So I'm not Levy out because he's terrible and the devil and everything like that. Well, he is, kind of. But I'm more Levy out because he's not willing to take us to the next level. He's reached a plateau, and now he needs to give it to someone else who's willing to take us to that next level, because it looks like he isn't. And we're just stale and... If you stand still in football, it would be the same in business. If you stand still, you fall down. You don't stay where you are. You get left. Yeah, left behind, and that's what's happened to us, and will continue. To happen.
We're not even getting left behind, Chris. At this point, we're getting blown the hell out of the water.
Yeah.
Brighton's coming. Newcastle's coming. Arsenal have stepped up.
Yeah.
Chelsea next season. Let's not kid ourselves. They are going to be a different animal, man. Well, that team is. Perfect for Poch, I think. If they get in a couple of young center backs, which they will, because Boehly will get him what he wants. That's going to be the difference there.
Yeah.
And Poch is going to turn around and say, remember how I thought I'd come back and had some unfinished business at Tottenham? Nah, now that I see what happens when I go to a club that actually buys who I want and does what I want. Because let's face it, at PSG, he had that issue with, Leonardo. Yeah. Where he was the one that was calling the shots and everything, right? Yeah. So he didn't really have that power. I think Boehly's the kind of guy that puts trust and faith into the people that are doing it and just throws the money at it and says, okay, you go figure it out.
Yeah, I think Boehly kind of bought the players for Potter rather than the other way around. But I can't imagine Poch has gone into there going, yeah, carry that on.
But there's a lot of young talent that's in that squad and coming in the squad in the summer that's going to be perfect for a Poch system.
I mean, let's talk about Poch. what's your views on it? Because
pain.
Because there'll be a lot of Spurs fans, quite rightly, go, he's an arsehole. He's Sol Campbell level. Personally, I'm very disappointed in him. And so I will boo him when they come round. But I booed Mourinho, and then he comes to Tottenham, and then I'm a fan of Mourinho. So if he comes back to Tottenham at some point, that will happen again. But I'm disappointed in him, but we never approached him.
I don't blame him.
Chelsea have.
I don't blame him.
What's he supposed to do? Just turn down every single job until Tottenham come calling, which isn't going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah, so he did say that Chelsea are bigger rivals to Tottenham than Arsenal. So that's why I'm disappointed, because he's gone to our rivals. And I'm genuinely worried now that he's going to try and take Kane because he knows how Kane works. They're missing a striker, and what better striker to get than the best in the world? And it's all our fault. Yeah.
And it's all our fault.
Yeah. So
don't get pissed off that you're the girl that you've had a crush on for 10 years has gone and started dating somebody else because you didn't have the balls to ask her out.
Yeah. So I don't hate him, but I am disappointed in him. But it's our fault.
Disappointed in us than him.
Yeah. And if we'd have given him the rebuild and the players that he wanted, it wouldn't even be an issue because he'd still be here. We'd probably be winning.
Chris,
stuff.
I don't think he even wanted the full rebuild. I think he would have been happy. He would have been the kind of guy that if he asked for a steak and you gave him a steak and mushroom pie, he'd still be a happy camper because he was that kind of guy. He wasn't like the Mourinho or the Conte kind of esque manager level mentality where it's no, I'm the be all and end all. You have to do what I want, exactly what I want kind of thing. I think he would have compensated here and there, which would have worked perfectly for what Levy wants because you want option A here. I got you option B.
Yeah.
You know, but he didn't even get him option B, C, D, E. It's like, nah, you're getting jack shit.
Yeah. I mean, I said Poch would come back this summer, but then what I didn't compensate for is the fact that Poch coming back means that Levy, in a sense, has to say, I fucked up, which. Yep. Levy's ego cannot allow him to do that.
Nope.
So, therefore, me saying Poch would come back was a bit staff because it was never going to happen.
No, we wanted his
when hindsight's 20/20, obviously. But yeah, I mean, how do you think he'll do it, Chelsea? Because when he came to us, the pressing game took a season and a half to get going. Do you think he'll have issues like that at Chelsea where it will take time?
No.
Do you think he'll hit the ground?
He's got a few games left to finish the season off. There's zero expectations on him, I think, for this season. He's going to have a full summer, a full preseason with them. And on top of that, he's going to bring players in and they're going to clear players out. Because I don't think Boehly really is too fussed about if he has to sell a player he bought for 30 million for 5 million just to get them off the books. Look at what he did with Jorginho. Turned around and gave him to Arsenal pretty much. You know, so they will do that. I can see them doing that, clearing out and building the squad he actually wants. You know, in reality, Chelsea is lacking a striker and a back line. You're not even a back line, just a center back, a proper center back. They got good wing backs. So if he gets two or three pieces of the puzzle there, I could see them not only doing well, but I could see them pushing for the title. I could see them pushing, getting into finals of cups and stuff like that. I think if they buy into his system and beliefs and they pick up that pressing way and they're not just a bunch of overpaid douchebags, that's really what it's going to come back down to, right? If these kids are at the point where it's like, nah, I make 300 grand a week to sit on a bench. I'm not going to go out there and work. Why do I don't have to. If I go and kill myself or if I sit here and just chill out and chill with Ethel the Tea Lady, I get the same amount of money. I'll chill with Ethel, man.
Ethel the Tea Lady.
You know? Yeah, me and Ethel are going to hang out on the bench and talk about what's better, green tea, white tea, red teas. You know what I mean? It's frustrating, though, man, because I honestly see him doing well.
Yeah. I mean, do you think he'll spend big? They spent 600 million last year. I don't know their finances, but financial fair play and everything like that. If they do sell all of these players that they bought for a big loss, they probably can't then afford 200 million pounds for Kane, like Terry said.
Yeah.
But I think for Levy to get, if Levy sells Kane to Chelsea, I think he'll get, well, if he sells Kane, he'll get pelters either way. But to Chelsea, he'll get even bigger pelters. And then it's just for the money. So it has to be something astronomical, I think, which 200 million would be. But do you think they'll spend big or does it completely depend on how much they ship out players for?
I think they'll spend big, but based on what you said, that it's going to be based on how they ship out the players as well. But I think they're willing to take cut-rate deals to get rid of, because not only are these players bought in at a high value, a lot of them have massive contracts that they're going to want off the books. Hmm. You know, so if they could start dumping contracts out as well, I think that's going to satisfy them. And it's scary, man, because this team being so young as well, a lot of the players is gonna, I think, do really well in a Poch system.
Yeah, he could be without Mason Mount. I think the issue there, like you said about the big wage bills, he wants something astronomical.
$300,000 to $350,000,
didn't he? Yeah, and he's very overrated, I think. Very overrated. Oh,
yeah. 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 For that kind of money, yeah. You deserve more than Harry Kane. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am genuinely worried now that he's going to come in the summer, say to to Bowley, one of the first things, get me Harry Kane. I mean, he would then be properly hated by Spurs fans if he went and stole our striker. But again, all are doing.
It's our fault.
If we'd have backed both of them, none of them would be, you know, there'd be Champions League, Premier League, FA Cup, whatever winners by now.
Yeah, and that's the hammer hitting the nail right there, buddy.
Yeah.
If we had done our bit, this conversation would not be happening at all.
No.
It pains. What's more painful when I think about Poch? What's painful to me is, what if? What could have happened if we just gave him a partial backing, even? Because he got nothing. Let's say even 30%. All right, man. Let's say even 30%. Where would we be now? You know what I mean? Yeah. I saw Poch being our Wenger. 20-year success story, staying on for a long time, consistent success, consistently going for trophies, consistently FA Cup, you know, EFL. Obviously not that great in Europe, but he never had much success over there. But still at least pushing towards things. Where we're not even stale. No. We're pushing ourselves backwards right now.
We had an identity under Poch, didn't we? So we had a way of playing, an identity, a pressing system, a young system, you know. And it worked in the sense of buying younger players to then build up, where some Mourinho and a Conte need players who are ready now, and their training and coaching revolves around, this is how I play, get used to it, go on the pitch. So it worked with Poch, and just thrown it all away. And Arsenal now, Arsenal for Life, how you doing, buddy? Arsenal have taken that blueprint, and if they don't make the mistakes that we make and they get a bit of luck and no injuries and stuff like that, they've got a manager there for life and a manager there for 20 years and a system there for 20 years. And if they carry on like they are this season for 20 years, they will eventually win that league. They will eventually topple Man City and the Liverpools or who are Chelsea's, whoever are going to challenge for that league. And we're just a wandering mess. And when we had all of this in the palm of our hands, that's what's so frustrating for me.
Yeah. We gave it away. We were in the relationship, basically. We were dating the hottest girl and just, you know, forgot to take her to dinner here and there. That's where I think what's even more, that's what adds to the frustration, is seeing them climb while we fall.
Yeah. Do you think that's made it even worse for Spurs this season? We'd be unhappy if Arsenal were sixth or seventh or whatever, but being that they've been in a title challenge, legitimate title challenge, it's made it even worse for us, and the anger has been even heightened.
Chris, we got our fan bases sitting here celebrating the fact that Arsenal was not going to win the title. We're not talking about anything Tottenham. We're celebrating the fact that Arsenal are not going to win the title.
Yeah.
That to me is a bit sad. This is the joy in our season. That's it. Don't get me wrong, it does bring me joy.
Yeah.
Right? A little bit, because I've got a few Arsenal fans that I actually hate, but then, you know, I do my show with my cousin who's an Arsenal fan who I absolutely adore. But there's this, it to me, it's like it just paints the picture of us as fans and us as a club kind of thing, that this is what makes us happy. Why are we not pissed off that this is what they've accomplished, while we accomplished less than last year after we brought in Conte, after we spent 200 million and gave him players he wanted?
Yeah, it's very depressing. It's very depressing this season. It is. So
let's talk about something else.
Okay, well,
did you watch the new Super Mario movie yet?
Yeah, I really liked it. Yeah, it was really good. It was
fantastic.
I'm watching Ted Lasso at the moment. That's very good. He might be our new manager outside.
Yeah. No, I actually,
believe.
No, it's not going to happen, Chris, because you know this was supposed to be the last season of Ted Lasso, right?
Right.
This is it.
Another one.
No. So this was supposed to be the last season, and then rumors started about Tottenham were interested in Ted Lasso. So that now he signed on for 5 more years. Doesn't that happen? Isn't that what happens? That's what his agent should be doing right now. Yeah. So Jason's agent, if you're out there, start a rumor that Ted is being approached by Tottenham to become the manager, and he'll get another 5 years, five seasons from the network there.
Well, I personally think that I don't know what will happen at the end of the season. I think they'll probably make a film. I think it will end as the end of the story, but with a view of it could go.
Well, that's what they did with that show, The Last Kingdom, right? Did you ever watch that?
No.
Oh, fantastic. And they made a movie called The Seven Kings Must Die to literally wrap up the five seasons. Mm. And it just came out. I just love the way they did that. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's what I think will happen. But anyway, we have to talk about this. I have to ask this question.
Ah, I thought I'd got you off the rails. Damn it.
Where do we go from here? I mean, it's very difficult to answer that because we don't know who the new manager is and everything. Yes. But I'd be not amazed, but I'd be very surprised if we don't at least try and go for Ward-Prowse. If we got Brendan Rodgers in, I'd be surprised if we didn't try and go for James Maddison. But if it's a choice 50 between...
50 million for JWP, yeah, though? Mm, 50 million's been quoted.
I think you could end up bringing that 50. Down because they've got relegated and they'll want to leave because they want to get back into the England squad. I think that's just what they're saying now in the hope that people...
How
don't...
old is
okay,
he
so
now? He's up there. 28, he's 28. 26, 27. No, 28. Is he 28 now?
I see him, though, as a kind of Modric player. And not Modric level, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, careful now.
But that midfielder who sits in that area and doesn't have to necessarily do all the running because his passing moves the ball for
it's
him.
Perfect, yeah.
Whereas right. Eriksen, when he was with us, was all over the place running 10 kilometres a game. I don't see Ward-Prowse like that. And then obviously free kicks and corner kicks are second to none. So I see him in there, and then the Maddison can be the Eriksen running around here, there, and everywhere. But again, Maddison, if Newcastle are interested, and even a Spurs with Rodgers there, there's no choice, is there? You go to Newcastle, unless
he doesn't want to live all the way there.
Yeah, and unless you're not going
to
get guaranteed.
That, from Leicester is what, 5 hours or something like that to Newcastle? Because I remember I did that trip.
Yeah, I have no idea, but
yeah, I think it's like a 5 hour drive.
Yeah, I mean, and then we need a goalkeeper because Lloris is.
He's done after this season.
Yeah,
he's going to Saudi Arabia, isn't he?
I thought Vea in the summer was free, but apparently he's 40 million. I thought if he was free, snap him up. But we ain't going to pay 40 million. We're looking at other cut price ones, which Liverpool have shown you, and Arsenal to an extent as well. Get a top quality goalkeeper, can save you points. Alex Ferguson famously said it, didn't he? It saves you about 10, 12 points a season having a quality goalkeeper. And then we need the defence. Vermeero, I'm really unsure as to whether he's a top defender.
No.
Or he looked really good for Argentina because he was surrounded by top quality players.
Yes.
Or because the top quality players were there, he was allowed to just focus on himself. And he is a good defender when he can focus on himself. I'm really, really unsure at the moment. The Villa first goal came from him doing his ridiculous dive in at position and then getting completely caught. But
and
against Palace,
he
was superb. But then it has to be said, Palace didn't really...
Against Liverpool, he was terrible.
Yeah, so I'm really unsure as to whether you get a couple of good quality defenders or one if you're going to play four at the back, if he would look good. Or... if he just looked good for Argentina because he was surrounded by better players. And
we're not getting Bastoni now because he's about to win the Champions League probably, right? So, hey, you won the Champions League at Inter? You want to come play for Tottenham now? We'll let you know who the manager is soon, but do you want to come play with us?
But yeah, I really worry what's going to happen in a sense of, like you say, we need a manager to then decide what the manager wants, and then you decide who goes out and who comes in. But it looks like we're doing it arse about face, and which I can only believe that Levy and people know who's coming in because it's verbally agreed and it's or been officially agreed, but it's not been made public yet. And
I honestly think it's Brendan Rodgers, and there's something
and these are just rumors, but
I think it's Brendan Rodgers, and there's some sort of a clause that they have to get to the end of the season to avoid paying any kind of compensation to Leicester.
Yeah.
Because maybe there's something in his contract that if he's fired or leaves, blah, 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 and he signs on with another club, he doesn't get his money from Leicester.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That does go on, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that does go on. So that's the thing, you know, because isn't that what we did with Poch? If he had signed immediately in the same season after we canned him with another English club, we didn't owe him compensation.
Yeah.
So that's what made me think of the same thing in this boat here too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was hating the idea of Rodgers when Nagelsmann was around and Poch around. But now...
Rodgers is looking pretty good now, isn't he, Chris?
Yeah, I don't. There's the guy from Celtic. Is Postecoglou?
Pasta. Yeah, let's just look at Pasta.
I don't
know
a huge amount about him. I know he plays attacking football. I know Ian Meth is a big
Ian
fan of him.
And Paul that goes on Irish and on United Spurs sometimes. Paul with the big beard, he absolutely loves them.
But yeah, I don't know a huge much about him other than he's Celtic manager and they've won the league. But again, he's not free, so therefore compensation involved, which again doesn't work for. And if there's no compensation made for Rodgers, then at least there's no compensation, and then that money that would have been used as compensation can hopefully,
yeah,
go towards a Kulu, go towards other players or whatever. But I mean, I asked the question. I was hoping you had an answer. I have no idea where we go from here, really.
You know what? I do know where we go from here.
Down.
No, Tesco's. We got to go shopping, baby. We got to go shopping. Go to the pound shop. Go to Tesco. What other discount shops are there? TK Maxx.
Poundland.
There you go. So, you know. We're going to be sponsored by Primark next season.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a huge, huge, huge summer in the sense of so many things to sort out. Levy's probably going to be under pressure because Pochettino's gone to Chelsea. Okay, you've let him go to Chelsea. Who are you going to get? De Zerbi would be crazy if he decided to leave.
He already turned around and said no. He already said no.
It's come up in more reports again that we're monitoring his situation and stuff like that. Again,
his cap came out a month or so ago and said, "I'm not, no way, I don't even touch that with a 10-foot barge pole." He literally shot the conversation down within 30 seconds.
Yeah, right, okay. So these are just reports and just, yeah. Thomas Frank was another one. Again, crazy to leave Brentford, where he's got the complete backing and good relationship. So I can only see it being Rodgers, and then I can see Maddison coming in or attempting to try and get Maddison. Whether Rodgers is going to be enough to convince Kane to go, but I reckon we could get Pep, and it wouldn't be... Kane's mind, I think, is probably made up. Either you let me go this season or I go for free in the summer. I don't really care which. I think that's probably where Kane's head is at, and I'm going to stay here, do as best I can, because I love Spurs.
I'll keep banging in goals, and that's it.
I need to win trophies, so you either let me go if a bid comes in, or I'll go in the summer, and then there can be a fight for my signature.
That's why I think Kane is saying all the things right now in his press conferences and stuff like that, where he's smart enough to kind of allude to the fact that I'm still going to be here. I support the club. I love the club. This is my club. I'm all about Tottenham, this, that, and the other, because when the inevitable does happen, it's going to be easier for us as fans to swallow it.
Yeah.
I think that's the reality of that, man.
I mean, any manager as well is going to want assurances that Kane is going to stay. But I'm not sure Levy, without lying, which he probably will do, can give those assurances.
What a horrible insinuation there, Chris.
It's not an insinuation. It's a fact.
Whoa, oh my goodness.
The evidence being that we're going back to the Spurs DNA, here's Nuno for it. A lie.
He's going to make us a proud.
He did when he left. But yeah.
Well, he made us proud the first month he was here, right? He won the Manager of the Month award.
Yeah. It's his biggest achievement as Spurs. I didn't hate Nuno. I didn't mind him. He just wasn't a Spurs kind of manager. I think it was a bit too step too high. But as a person, I didn't have anything against him.
No, of course not. It's never personal. At the end of the day, we want the best for our club. But this is kind of football is life for a lot of people. This is our joy. This is our outlet. You know, this for guys like you and I doing this YouTube stuff is another outlet.
Yeah.
You know, this is stuff I enjoy doing, you know? So when you start chipping away at the things that make me happy, well, you make me pissed off. And that's what I think is happening. And that's why I think you're starting to see a lot of the fan base is starting to turn now. And once it gets to the point where it's toxic and the entire fan base gets on board, I think then Levy's eyes will open. But until that point, I think we're
openness in spending money or selling up.
Or
could it be either or?
If they're saying the club's worth $3.5 billion, okay, this is the way I look at it. If they say the club's worth $3.5 billion, I don't think we're going to be sold. There's no way he would take less than six, because at the end of the day, if you're a businessman, right? I own a company that's worth $5 million. It makes me $1 million a year. I know I'm going to keep making that money. That's going to consistently come in no matter what I do, no matter what stupid decisions. Even if I decide to close the store and never open it again, I'm still going to make that kind of money. That's going to come in from somewhere. Why the hell would I sell my business for what it's worth? I'm going to want more because I'm going to look at my projected profits as well. Now, the fact with that kart track coming in, the F1, the concerts, the boxing, the this, the that, the skydives, the sky jumps, the hula hooping. What else? So we got the Olympic sized swimming pool is going to be put in the middle of the pitch soon. NFL games, and all these variations to produce and generate more money. When you look at the numbers there, and they say this is our potential income, potential, that adds then to your worth and your valuation then, right? That being said, that's why I think I don't think I'm too far off when I say I don't see us going for less than six. Because if down the road, United are worth four, they're saying, and they have
I thought that was about six.
If they're at six, there's no way we're going for less than United, because regardless of their past accomplishments, they need heavy investment. Their stadium is falling apart. Their training ground is falling apart. The area that they're situated in needs a lot of rebuilding. You know, so there's going to be, you're going to turn around and spend $6 billion on them, and then another billion to build a new stadium, this, that, the other. Because I don't think you could. I don't know if Old Trafford's at the point where it can continuously keep getting the Band-Aid repairs that they're doing. I don't know enough about it to speak, you know, properly about it. But if you're saying that they're six, then make that seven at least from a buyer's perspective. So do you go spend six with the potential extra billion to spend and don't know what's going to happen? Or do you spend six on right now a club that has the stadium, has the facilities, all top class, going to be good for the next 20, 25 years, several different avenues to produce income and generate revenue? What's more appealing to somebody as a business, from a business standpoint? I think even though United have that past pedigree, they have the trophies in the cabinet and everything like that, from a business perspective, I think we make a lot more sense as an investment or a purchase. That being said, Levy knows that. If I'm sitting here as a simple bus driver and can think that way, and you're not disagreeing with me, then he's going to know more than us. You know, this is what he does. He's a numbers guy, right? So I don't. Less than six, I don't see it happening, man.
I think, like you say, unless it gets really, really toxic and then there's no other way out, if he's making money from us, he's not going anywhere, I don't think. And
why would he?
If you're giving yourself a £500,000 pay rise, it suggests you're making a lot of money.
He's the highest paid chairman, right?
If you can still stay in the black by getting a £500,000 pay rise yearly, you've got no financial worries there. Unfortunately, but it'd be very interesting what happens in the summer. All these things are going to be adding to the fans' discontent and anger if Kane leaves this summer or leaves free next summer. If he goes to Chelsea, that's going to. If Poch does well at Chelsea, that's going to add to the anger as well, because that's what we could have had. So it could all be building up. And Brian's doing a brilliant job along with other people as well with the protests and purple and gold and everything like that as well. But yeah, it's just going to be very, very interesting what happens in the summer. Got two games left, which thankfully I'm at a wedding on Saturday, so I don't have to watch the Brentford crap. And then Leeds will probably end up losing that because we haven't got anything to play for. They have. But interesting question.
How sad is that, Chris? Yeah. You're happier to be at a wedding.
Yeah, I've got to that level. I'm a
football club.
Yeah,
I'm happier that I'm going to be driving a bus.
Yeah, I've got to that level, I'm afraid. But interesting question before we head off here from Arsenal for Life. Gundogan is a free agent in the summer. Would you take him? Absolutely would. Whether he'd want to come, Arsenal for Life, is a very different question.
He's won more trophies in a year than we have in 20.
Yeah. I'd absolutely take him in a heartbeat. But
But I don't think his wages would be he would want more than Kane and Son and you know, and he's banging in goals right now for City as well too, right? So he's kind of back in form as well. And
I mean, last year
he had a great season.
Yeah, I mean, it could be very easy to say that he'll end up getting a 1 year extension or something from City as well. But it's pretty much reached the end here. There's not much else to talk about because we have no idea what's going to happen because we don't have a manager, director of football or anything.
Well, we
didn't
really finish up about the Super Mario thing, but okay. Well, next time.
Oh, yeah. Carry on.
How awesome was Bowser?
Well, I saw Guardians of the Galaxy the other day as well.
No, you saw the new one already?
Yeah, that was very good.
Oh, no way. Okay.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to talk about that because that's see that. I gotta see that because that's Groot as a teenager now, right? Because Guardians of the Galaxy 2 to me is still Saving Private Ryan and Guardians of the Galaxy 2 are easily in my top five best openings of movies ever because baby Groot dancing around like without a care in the world while everything is just going absolutely. Yeah. Crazy around him. Kuva brought this up the other day and he reminded me about that point, about that part. That's why I was like, you know what? That is an awesome part. Mm. And that's kind of like us as Spurs fans right now, isn't it? Everything is blowing up around us all the way around. Fuck it. Might as well dance, baby. Might as well just dance, right?
Well, at least that way we can end on a positive. We can end on a positive. Just dance while all this crap is going on around us for the rest of the
season. Well,
that's
the Indian way, right? If you've ever seen a Bollywood movie, there's a shootout happening. A guy just emptied his clip with all 700 bullets in a 10-bullet gun, but he shot 700 bullets out of it. But wait, let's stop. And now we dance. Break into a song number. All the guys drop their guns, pop out from behind a tree after a quick costume change. Now we dance.
What a perfect way to end. Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on. I apologize.
Thanks for having me, buddy. It's been a while.
I apologize. I did say that I'd send you the link and I completely forgot. So I do apologize for that. But thanks.
That's okay. I wasn't ready anyways. So no, man, I appreciate you having me. It's always good.
Yeah. I realize the time difference and everything like that. So I really appreciate you making time to come on and
Well, I'm 5 hours ahead of you, not behind.
Are we?
Oh, behind you. Sorry. Behind you. It's only 3:42 PM for me. Hmm.
Yeah,
right.
But so, even so, though, I'm at work at that time, so I appreciate you coming up.
Nah, fair enough, buddy, fair enough.
But yeah, and I will put your details in the description as well. But you see it there, next to his name, Three Spurs Boys, that's your channel. I know you've got Kuv and the Gang as well as your kind of main show. What can people expect from your channel?
Well, the kids now, they're going to be coming up to summer break shortly. So we are looking to next summer. We're actually going to have the kids on a lot more because at the end of the day, it's supposed to be something for them. I took over because I just enjoy it so much. And, you know, it's not all about the children. You know, it's not. It's about me, too. I'm a selfish bastard like that. But,
Spurs boys, so it has to be. It can't just be about them, too.
I never said it was
descriptions.
I never said we were the three, though.
Oh, well.
Technically, all three are on screen, so that's all that counts. They don't have to physically be here. So they're going to do some more off the pitches and stuff. They got another little show that they're going to start doing together, like a weekend wrap-up kind of thing. They're going to start doing some lives and stuff like that, bringing some guests on and stuff like that. And so we've got to have them branch out a little bit more kind of thing before the big one. I lose him to university in a year and a half. And so I do my I don't know if you caught it, on every other Friday night I have a show with my cousin Robbie, who's an Arsenal fan, and we call it What's Buzzing Cousin. And it's just Arsenal fan and a Tottenham fan obviously sitting down talking about football, a little bit of banter back and forth and everything. We just try to discuss everything that's happening currently with our clubs and then with the league and everything. But Kuv and the Kang, we do every other Saturday night. We just had this Saturday night show.
in the bull, basically, as a play on Bob Spurs in the wall, lighthearted in the wall kind of thing, a little bit more, just more banter and stuff. It was so funny this weekend. We literally talked about football for the first half hour, and Kuva got so fed up of it, and I think everybody else did, that the next hour and a half of the show was absolutely everything except for football. So it was great. So if you just want to have a lighthearted laugh and kind of take your mind off things, and misery loves company, so please come join us when we're all crying together. By all means, join us on Saturdays and Friday nights.
Excellent. I've been very fortunate enough to be invited on the channel. It's a brilliant channel. And all
get on over,
absolutely
buddy.
Fantastic. And yeah, please, I'll put it in the description, but you can just type it in Three Spurs Boys on YouTube and find it as well. But I will put it in the description. Please hit the like, subscribe, and share this video as well on this channel and Chris's Magic as well. That's Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. That's not live, but it drops 7:30 p.m. So if you
but those are wicked. I love the way you do those, man. Nice, quick, 4 or 5 minutes. You know what I mean? It's awesome, and the way you describe the trick and everything like that too, and everything.
We got to get that. I'm we're running out of tricks, so I'm branching into tutorials at the moment.
But you've done how many now? You've got like, what, 30 or 40 or even more now, right?
Yeah, it's nearly 50. Must be near a year.
Good for you, man. Honestly, excellent. That's crazy.
Thank you very much.
No, I think we should just do a fun special with the kids. We'll just do an off-the-pitch magic show.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Where the kids just kind of, you just, you know, watch their kind of, because it's fun to get a reaction kind of thing for you as a magician, to, you know, that wow factor. Because I still remember when you came on and did the show with them. Mm. They were like, especially when you did the coloring book one with the Avengers thing that you did. I still remember the little guy's face. He was like, how? Yeah. I can't even color in the lines. But Chris, really, really good to be on with you, buddy. I always like your vibe. I always like talking to you, man. You're always cool and collective and always got good points, man. So appreciate you bringing me on, man.
I appreciate that, and same to you. And yeah, best part of the season, or one of the best parts, definitely meeting you at the ground. That was for the Arsenal game, wasn't it? All three of you at the ground. And yeah, hopefully get to see you next season as well.
Depends on how these pricks do.
Well, for my sins, I've already bought mine. I share it with two others, so it's only about 400. So,
oh, okay.
But yeah, definitely have you back on here soon.
Anytime.
All three of you, if you're around. And yeah,
we'll sort something out for
But we've got two games left. Oh, these are going to be tough.
Yeah.
These are going to be tough.
Yeah.
But I have to say it, because I always say it. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Thanks so much for watching. For everybody who joined in the live chat and added comments, before you go, please leave a like and hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Also, please hit that notification bell. That'll give you a notification every time we're about to go live, and it's all completely free. For those who missed the live show, you can catch this whenever you want on Let's Talk Tottenham's YouTube channel. Please also hit the like, subscribe and notification bell. And everybody, please leave feedback, comments, suggestions in the comments section. Those of you who listen to the audio podcast, thank you so much for listening. Anyone who wants that audio podcast, you can pick that up wherever you get your podcast from. We're back Mondays, 7:30 p.m. UK time, and Fridays, 12:30 p.m. UK time. Alternatively, if you go to Twitter at Let's Talk Tottenham, Instagram, Let's Talk Tottenham Podcast, you'll find all the information there. Anyone who wants something a little bit different, also do a magic show. So I do one trick a week, which drops Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. UK time. Chris's Magic on YouTube is where you'll find that. But in the meantime, come on, you Spurs.